The malacha that we've been discussing is the malacha of dash. So we spoke last time about one tremendous application of malacha of dash that refers to chaliva. More practically, not by behemoths, which is not so nogea for us, but more practically, in terms of nursing mothers, in terms of expressing milk, that does have serious potential ramifications. What should be the correct approach? That was the last year. And again, we define dash as something that's coming from extraction, an extraction of something from its natural cluster, from its natural habitat, being extracted from it is the malacha of dash. The Gemara points out, dash does have similarities with other malachas, but because it's being extracted from its natural habitat, its natural shell, its natural growing place, that's the malacha of dash. The Gemara does say, and we paskin la halacha, as we pointed out last year, that one of the most important fundamental questions when it comes to the malacha of dash is whether or not you're dealing with max gedule karka. Whether or not you're dealing with gedule karka. If you're not dealing with gedule karka, you're dealing with a fish, the Gemara says, or a snail. So the Gemara says that there it would not be malachas disha on such an item. I'd like to discuss today another application of the malacha of dash. There is a perek in the 22nd perek of Shabbos which deals primarily with a lot of the halachos that deal with dash. And I'd like to talk about two of the sugyas today that really come up that are very, very nogea l'halacha. The Gemara talks about the inyan of schitas peros. Since peros are gedule karka, it fits the bill for something that is susceptible for the malacha of disha. And you are not allowed to squeeze fruits when it comes to the malacha, when it comes to Shabbos, or really Yanta for that matter. However, there is an important distinction that's going to have tremendous ramifications la'alacha when it comes to the squeezing of fruits. The Gemara tells us that when it comes to certain fruits, the malacha of dash on that fruit is what? Is the oraisa. Which fruits are the malacha de oraisa when it comes to dash, Akiva? You know? Lippy? Grapes or olives. Excellent. Grapes or olives are the most severe category of squeezing on Shabbos. Why grapes and olives should be unique, Usher?
Olives for oil and grapes for money.
Oh, because they are... So there's two approaches that I think Avi and Usher just said, and it's a machlokus rishonim in the Gemara and Shabbos. If you look at Rashi, Rashi sounds like it's normal, because those are actually, like Avi says, it's normal, those are actually used for olive oil, for grape juice, for wine. So that's why those have significance. And those are, as Rashi says, urchayu b'halchi. Those are the ones that are normal. We always want to know what's normal, what's the classic, not abnormal way, because malachas machsheves, klachar yad, we want to know the normal process of malachas for Shabbos. So wine and olive oil is the classic mode of malacha when it comes to pears. If Avi Spitz is right, so that will have tremendous implications if you would accept Rashi Shita. Why would that have tremendous implications, Rabbi Isai? Because if you walk into what? No, you're probably right. I just was saying it in an example. If you'd walk into what? If you'd walk into a fruit store, Bizman Azer, or not even a fruit store.
A juicer.
You'd walk, yeah, where? What?
In your
Rebars.
What's a good place that people go?
Rebar.
You walk into Toddy's. No?
What?
Rebar.
Rebar's in Israel.
What's Rebar?
All these places in Israel, where they take up.
Even not in Israel, Rabbi Isai. You can get any juice. You can get any juice, Bizman Azer. All of the malacha of Schitas Peres changes Bizman Azer. So now, if you understand the lumdus of shemen and yayin as being urchayu b'achi, so comes along bizman hazeh, whoa, there are a lot of more categories that might be d'oraisa. Says the chayyodim lefishitas Rashi, it might be that all these fruits, you know, you name it, pomegranate juice, whatever might be d'oraisa. But the common practice is to understand that no, that those are the two categories that would be d'oraisa, would be biblical, and there is something unique that they have a shemashke, kind of like what Asher Lippi was saying, and it wouldn't necessarily change on the practice based on that. It's machlekes rishonim. That's the Ran's opinion that it's specifically those that are significant. How do we know they're significant, Rabbi Yosef? What other area of halacha tell us that shemen and yayin have significance? What other area? Brachas. Yayin doesn't go down in brachas, right? I don't think the Ran's saying significance because of the practice of people. The Ran is saying significance because there's halachic significance. So that's in terms of just designating the difference between what the Mishnah says, Zeisim Anovim is Deraisa. A little bit of a question b'zman hazeh whether or not that would change, but we'll see in a second. It's not going to have tremendous practical implications. But for our intents and purposes, we assume that yayin and shemen and olives and grapes would be deraisa. Why we're going to have to stress that it's deraisa if I'm going to tell you that it's going to be usur to be sochid other pears anyways, we'll get to in Mirtz Hashem by the end of this year. What is the next category in the Mishnah of Schitas Peros that is not usur deraisa but is usur derabbanan, Rabbi Yisai? Yeah, Asher, go for it. What other fruits in the Mishnah? What? Tusim v'rimayim. Strawberries and pomegranates. But, as Asher said correctly, even though the Mishnah categorized that as what's Asher m'drabanan shar peros, bizman hazeh, what we just said, even if you're told that it doesn't get bumped up to d'oraisa, bizman hazeh, any fruit that is normally juiced in your area would be included in that category. Now the Poskim and the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah writes that it's not only if it's juiced in your area, which is very nogei l'maisa b'zman hazeh, that you could really get any fruit at any time juiced from anywhere, even if they only juice mangoes in Hawaii or juice oranges in Florida. But l'maisa, everything's import and export. I was looking for something a little more interesting.
Guava juice.
Is that true? Is there such a thing?
Yeah, sure.
So let's say they juice guava in
Panama.
I like it.
That's
sure.
Let's go.
That's where I get guava.
Okay. I get guava from Seasons. So what? So Rabbi Yisai, now that everything's imported and exported, it doesn't really matter because you have it accessible to your area. So even if it's not done there, that's going to be something that's also derabbanan. So pretty much shar peiros, any fruit across the board that comes out, at least midrabbanan, is also to squeeze. Whether or not it's also deraisa, it might not be also deraisa, which is going to have implications. But if you'd like to know right now, right off the bat, is it mutter to squeeze any fruit on Shabbos? I don't really know if there's any fruit that's not used for juicing. If the fruit is not used for juicing, lemon is not a good example. Lemon is a very bad example. Right. If anyone can think of a fruit that's never used for juice, so then maybe that would be the third category of the Mishnah, which would be in the old times that it's never used for a drink. But the assumption is usually that most fruits are somehow made into a juice, especially with our interesting palates, bizman hazeh, you know, so that pretty much you shouldn't squeeze any fruits at all. Yeah.
Wouldn't juices now have to be all ulcer in general just because of marat ayin?
I'm saying it's worse than marat ayin.
No, but you're saying it's the lacha d'oraisa to squeeze juice. I'm saying
in the times of the Mishnah, it was not ulcer because of marat ayin, because there were certain fruits that were only used for
today. How can I drink oranges in a cup of a glass cup?
You want to know why you can't? You should not be able to drink.
It shouldn't be.
Why is it marat ayin?
Someone will think I squeezed it into
juice.
Why
would someone think that? When I ever see a guy in this classroom drink orange juice, do I ever think? First of all, I know you guys are lazy bumps. and you would never squeeze your own orange. But even if you weren't lazy, no one squeezes their own orange. Some guy in Idaho squeezes the orange and puts it into Traumacanabex. I think it's Mara Zion to even think that a guy would actually think to squeeze it. Yeah. Good question. Oh, I was just giving him a little drama.
People are juicing vegetables also.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Carrot juice is disgusting.
Right.
Kale juice.
How do you do that? How do you do that?
I don't know.
I've seen it, Rabbi. There's a machine.
You need a machine. So it's you can't squeeze that with your hands.
I'm sure it's like a
You can't really juice the kale.
Carrot juice is
awesome. You can't squeeze kale. It's not going to do anything. It's like a leaf.
And you can have, like, I don't know.
Knife or a hammer
or
something. Knife or a hammer, you have to deal with another malacha.
Machine,
so anyways, you're going to be violating.
No, you have a machine. You put like the kale in that thing and just squeeze it down.
So you just violate a malacha d'oraisa by being toichin it. You graded it. So it's anyways, also. But would it be included in schita? I hear. I mean, I think the gzeru. Yeah, it could be. It could be. Maybe it would extend to vegetables, but not as it. It's good. It's good to aura. It just squishes it. Uh huh. Uh huh. Okay. So maybe it is. Maybe it is included. I don't have to think about it. It's a good aura.
They didn't squeeze vegetables back then.
Right. Well, the maisa, once things become accustomed to squeezing them, so then lechor vegetables
will be
included.
So do we have to be careful in the way we eat vegetables now, or fruits?
No. So let's get to the example. Yeah, Kiva.
If you wash a vegetable and wash fruit...
We're not up to washing fruits. We're going to learn about washing fruits.
So it doesn't fall into the same category when you like squeeze...
No, washing fruits is going to be discussed in the melacha of Beirer. Washing fruits is it could potentially be a melacha. You have to know how to wash a fruit, and I have to know which way to wash a fruit.
When you wash fruit,
it's not so simple to wash fruits.
It's not the same categories right now.
No, because when you're washing a fruit, you're not squeezing the inner juices out. You're getting the exterior dirt off, which is an entirely different malacha called borer. All right, we're focused on the inner natural juices that I'm now the key word for. Disha is what? It starts with an E and it ends with a T? Extract.
Do you already mention what the whole reason behind why Dosh is not for
besides
for
olive
grapes,
which you
already mentioned?
Did you mention
anything else?
It's one of the malachas. It's one of the malachas that they did in the
Mishkan.
You can't do it for eating. No.
Wait, can we speak about lemons?
What? We're going to get to lemons. So lemons would be an example of shar peiros. So now, what is the practical implication of whether or not, Rabbi, what do I care? It's d'oraisa, it's d'rabbanan, l'maaseh, it's aser, I can't do any of these things. There is tremendous, tremendous ramifications. We're going to get to lemons in Mirtzei Hashem in a second. So the Gemara says as follows. So if you remember last week, we talked about chaliva. That chaliva is a malacha, okay? We assumed last week that chaliva was the malacha of dash. Is that the opinion of all Rishonim? Not necessarily, but we're going to go with that assumption right now. And therefore, the Gemara says as follows. Cholev adam eiz letoich hakdeira, avaloi letoich haka'ara. This is a Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. What did that just mean? Rabosa, help me out here. Chaylev adam eiz l'toich hakdeira, avalo l'toich hakaira. A person can be cholev, can extract milk into a kdeira. What's a kdeira? What's a kdeira? A pot. Avalo l'toich hakaira, but not into a tray. What's the difference between a pot and a tray, Rabosa? What's the difference between a pot and a tray? Says the Gemara, says Rashi, L'toich hakdeira shel tafshil. It's in a pot with food inside of it, with something cooking it, right? And now, when I put the liquid inside of it, so the Gemara says, Alma kasover mashka habal oichel ka oichel domi. Drink that's coming out of this animal and going directly onto food is never considered a liquid drink. Because it's going directly where, Rabosai? It's going directly where? Into the food. So if that interim status, that split second that it's staying as a liquid, that doesn't make it the malacha of dash. But if it's in the tray, it's not fine, says Rashi, because the tray is what? Sometimes it's going into an empty receptacle. Since it's in an empty receptacle, in a tray, or in a cup, so then what? It's clear that you're getting it for what purpose? To collect the liquid, and therefore it's us. This has tremendous ramifications for both sides. Let me give an example. So now, if I have a fruit, and I want to squeeze that fruit, and that squeezing that fruit is not going into a cup, is not going to a collecting receptacle, but is rather going directly into a food, that is something that the Gemara in Shabbos says on Kuf Memdal Rabbeis, it is mutter. However, like a salad, good example, or another example, who puts lemon juice on piece of salmon? That would be something that's mutter. That's something that's mutter. But if it was tea, it would be usser. Because it's going straight into a liquid. It's not going into a salad. We'll talk about tea in a second. Like, give me a second.
Why?
Rabbis, why are we talking about tea in a second? Because I want to talk about tea in a second.
No, I'm saying, what's the reasons for the Gemara's head? Did it just like feel like it?
I just told you. Mashka habala oichel is koichel. It doesn't get a shame mashka. It has to stay as a mashka if it's going to be considered dash as a mashka. So Rabbisai, this is a great heter. However, there is the opinion of Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel, and he's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishabura says, HaMachmer Tov Olav Bracha. Rabbeinu Chananel didn't accept this pshat. He thinks that it's rejected on the Gemara later. If we had the time to go through the sugyas from Kuf Mem Dalet Mem Beis to Kuf Mem Hei, we don't have the time to go through it. I would demonstrate to you why Tosis on Kuf Mem Hei explains what the rationale Rabbeinu Chananel thought that this wasn't accepted La Halacha. Rabbeinu Chananel is not the opinion of most Rishonim. Pashut pshat is this is a heter gomer. However, when it comes to the oraisas, we have to be machmir and we do not accept it. So therefore, Rabosai, what does that translate La Halacha? There are two items that even if it's mashka abala oichel, it won't be permitted. That is what? Zaysim v'anovim. Excellent. Those are, that's the practical halacha, Rabbi Yisai. There is a heter when it, olives and grapes. You do not apply the heter of going into food. Of mashka abala oichel ko'ochel. Because we're more stringent when it comes to deoraisis. If you would hold like the Chayi Adam, so then it would come out that the heter would also go in. It's a good aura. The heter would go by the wayside. So that is something that's very practical and very, very big distinction in terms of the original chiluk. Even though a person could say my nafkamina, whether it's the rice, the rabban, nafkamina v'nafkamina. This is going to be many, many different implications based on how you analyze the nature of schitas peros versus schitas zesim ve'anov.
No one does that today.
Okay, we still have to know. People do squeeze olives. It's not true. You don't squeeze olives sometimes into a salad? That's not true. And let's say you... And I'll give you another example.
Question.
And I'll give you another example.
What?
Well, we'll get towels. Oh, we'll get into it. Excellent. That's going to be 39. No. 1 second, Rabosai. Came along Chazal and made another gzera. Because Schita Zesim Anovim is so chamer, so therefore, not only on the food that I extracted is it a problem, but let's say, you know, the Rishonim talk about the following case. Fascinating sugi, we don't have time to get into it. The Rishonim talk about, Mishabur even quotes it. Let's say you have in the times of the Gemara, they had, right, in the Shulchan Aruch, they had grapes that were sitting in the barrels. And, you know, a lot of times what would happen is that the grapes would eventually pop. And it would turn into wine, it would just pop on its own, and then it would turn into wine, right? So what happens if you have such juice? I didn't crush it. I didn't do schita, but it just now what? Turned into wine on its own. That's what's called in halacha. Anyone know the name of that? Rabbi Yisai? Mashkin Shezavu. Mashkin Shezavu. These are mashkim, liquid extract, that were not extracted by force by you, but they were what? They were zav on their own. They were zav on their own. So the Mishnah Berurah, there's a whole complicated case that if it became, you know, you have some things inside the mashkim shezavu, is it batel, is it not batel? How do you deal with this? La halacha, is it davar shishal matirim, because it's going to be mutter after Shabbos, the whole gansa arichas over there in the Magen Avraham when it comes to, but the primarily, what do we understand? We understand that when it comes to liquids that secrete on their own, it's still going to be usur to drink and to be benefit, and Rabbi Yisai, it's even muktzah, those mashkim. So everybody say, let's say you have a bowl and somebody cuts up a grape for a child. You want practicality? I'll give you practicality. You cut up a grape for a child. And what happens when you cut up a grape for a child? Grape juice comes out of it when you're cutting it, Rabosai. So then what, Rabosai? That is a big problem. That is a big problem. Number one, it's a problem if there's going to be a psikratia that it might even be usher to do, because if it's going to be inevitable that juice is going to be out, so that's something that's usher, even though I'm not using the juice. But also, the juice that comes out of it is going to be something that's usher. So when it comes to zeisim v'anovim, all mashkim shezavu is absolutely prohibited and potentially mutzah. However, Rabbi Yisai, when it comes to schitas shar peros, Chazal made a distinction la'alacha, which is very, very relevant and is probably going to create a kula in most of our cases of every other pears. Let me ask you a question, Rabosai. When you eat a grapefruit, is there a liquid that seeps out? Avada navada, right? Says the Gemara, Mashkin Shezavu applies to shar pears, but not in the following instance. If the shar pears were brought into your house le'achila and not le'tzorech mashke, then there is no gzeira of mashkin shezavu. Mashkin shezavu was a gzeira that was chazal, similar to what we learned in Melechus Kotzer. Chazal said that fruits that fell from the tree to the ground are now going to be mukta and are going to be problematic, because we're worried what? That you're going to go up to the tree and pluck them out as well, right? Says Chazal, similarly when it comes to peros, Mashkin Shezavu are Aser Midrabanon. Why? Because we're worried, Gzeira what? A person is going to what?
Juice
it himself. However, if you're outside of the realm of grapes and olives, and you're in the realm of what? Of Shar Paris, and Shar Paris were brought in not Litzorach Mashka, not for the juice, but Shar Paris were brought in for what reason? To eat the grapefruit, or to eat the orange, then what? Even the mashkin that come out as I use it are not going to be usser. You'll ask me, Libby, but if it's a psik ratio that the fruit's going to come out, shouldn't that be usser? Who cares about the mashkin shezavu, Rabosai? The fact that I'm extracting liquid should be a problem. Why isn't that a problem?
Kavana,
but let's say it's a psik ratio. Let's say it's inevitable that when I eat a grapefruit, there's some juice that comes out of it, Rabosai. Ask Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, why shouldn't it be usher for me to eat a grapefruit on Shabbos? It's a shenis tricha, so it's also derabana. So what's the heter, Rabbi Yisai?
Since he's our only derabana to start.
Oh, so says Reb Shlomo Zalman, a tremendous cooler when it comes to eating a grapefruit. He says, since this is a psik reisha deloy nichale, and what? I don't really care about the juice. I'm not interested in the juice. Again, this is assuming a person's not going to drink the juice and going to be excited about the juice. The second a person likes his grapefruit juice after his grapefruit, that goes out the window. It's not a psikresha de l'nichale. If a person just wants to eat a grapefruit, and there's some juice that comes out as I'm scraping out the grapefruit, and you know, Rabosai, there's some, I remember my father's a Zechon Ravach, when he would eat a grapefruit, he would not leave anything in that grapefruit. I'm saying, Israelis do not stop. They don't even stop by the peel. They don't. They go all the way in terms of the grapefruit. You know what I'm saying? The pink, the white, the yellow on the outside. You know, so when you eat a grapefruit, so if a person is just interested in the grapefruit, he's not interested in the juice. So then, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, it's a psik reish dolo nichale, it's kalachar yad, it's chita shar peiris. So that's all going to be psik reish dolo nichale on a few derabanans. So if you hold like the opinion that psik reish dolo nichale on a few derabanans is mutter, like Rav Moshe Feinstein has held of, and the Mishnah Berurah in one place writes that that's a kula, so then that would be a kula. The only problem is the Chazon Ish says he didn't accept. Chazon Ish did not like this heter of psik reish delo nichol on two derabbanans. So the derabbanans are derabbanan. Who cares that you added up two derabbanans, said the Chazon Ish. He doesn't like the Mishnah Berurah's heter, and the Mishnah Berurah himself contradicts himself in two different places in Mishnah Berurah, whether or not psik reish delo nichol on two derabbanans is a heter. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote in a tshuva a few times that psik reish delo nichol by two derabbanans would be mutter. So that's Rav Shlomo Zalman's defense for a person to eat a grapefruit and how you get around that potential issue. But for our intents and purposes, Rabosai, is that we need to know that mashkim shezavu would not apply in that situation because those fruits were brought in litzarech achila. But you have your second nafkamina. When it comes to zeisim v'anovim, I don't care why the fruits were brought in. I don't care what the situation is. Mashkin shezavu, when it comes to zeisim v'anovim, since it's biblical, since it's more chomer, that's automatically awesome.
You can't eat.
Is this
yeah.
In the case of sigresha, when it comes to
even without sigresha, even if it's a davar shena miskavin, and it's not inevitable, it's not a davar shena miskavin. I'm telling you that b'di'evit, the juice is going to be awesome.
You can't.
You can't eat olives and grapes
on
Shabbos?
What?
You can't eat olives.
No, you can eat olives and grapes. We're going to get to it.
Oh. Beautiful.
This is the third nafkamina, but I wanted to get back to his lemon case. So hold on. Let's take Mickey's question, because that's going to be the next issue, and then we'll get back to Ben's lemon issue. Mickey says, you're always going to have mashkin shezavu, you're always going to have a mashka, you're always going to have some extraction, you're going to have some schit the mamish, if you're sucking an olive and you're sucking a grape. So this is something that's brought up in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that there is a debate between the Rishonim whether or not you can actually put something like this and suck it out, the juices, because of the Isser of Schitas Peiros. So, is that considered Schitas Peiros to eat it in that form when it's not fully in my mouth and I'm just sucking out the juices by the peck? So the distinction is as follows. Since Zeisim Va'anovim is the Oraisa, you would be usher for you to do that with an olive and eat it like that and suck the juices out, or to eat a grape like that because it's the Oraisa. We're even machmer for those Rishonim that hold Schita exists even by the peh. However, when it comes to Shar Peiros, like an orange, and I want to suck it out like that by the peh, we would be makel and allow a person to eat it in such a form. However, that does not mean that a person cannot eat a grape and an olive on Shabbos, because the poskim point out that if the grape and the olive is fully in the mouth and you're just chewing the grape and the olive, so that's not considered schita at all, that's considered achila, and that would be a permissible way for a person to eat a grape and an olive on Shabbos. However, if a person is motzeitz bepeh, as the Shulchan Aruch, I believe, quotes from the Tshuvas HaRosh, that would be something that would be prohibited, and that's something that we are machmir. So those are three different categories, la'alacha, of distinctions that we make based on the deoraisas versus the shar peiros derabbanos. Let me just finish one more point, get back. Okay, Max, let's go. I don't want to lose you to lose your train of thought. Yeah.
So if you were like to cut grapes for your kids or something, can you just take like a bowl of grapes and cut the grape on top of the bowl so the juices go back onto the grapes on top of the food?
Again, you're cutting the grapes on a bowl.
But as long as
there's going to be juice coming out of it, that's a problem.
But it's falling onto other grapes, falling onto other food.
This doesn't work with olives and grapes.
Olives and grapes, we said that we can't do it onto other food. Right, yeah.
But could you do it for, what's it called? One second.
Guys, you're home. Pikuach nefesh avad, he could do it for pikuach nefesh. I don't know what your case is.
For a kid, kids can choke on a big grape, so you cut it in half.
And they need a grape to live right now. So again, I don't know. I'm not convinced that every time you cut a grape, juices come out. I don't think you're squeezing grapes then. If you do it in a way that it's not going to cause a psik ratio, I think that might be, yeah.
What's the third grapefruit?
Huh?
What's the third derabbanan? We said it's
two derabbanan.
It's just klachri. I don't think it's blowing
anything. Oh, what would be the second?
There's two derabanan.
Other
derabanan. No. Skita by shar peiros is derabanan. Yeah.
When, let's say like there's like a big grape, so you only take like a bite out of half of it.
Okay.
It always like you know how like it always like squirts out the juices
into your mouth.
No, out.
But that's anyways we're saying you can't do that. You have to put the full grape in your mouth.
Once right, closed. So eating
half Mickey, I hope you chew with your mouth closed that it's not squirting out.
No, like with any half with grapes, anything. Right?
I take a grape and I put it on my mouth. I start chewing. With my mouth closed.
No, let's say it's a big grape, so you eat half the grape, or sometimes you just take half a bite. And then
it starts squirting everywhere?
It squirts out
a little spritz.
According to some of the Rishonim, who hold that it's still considered schita, even by the pe, so that would be something that would be awesome.
Even if it's not like in the action of sucking it out.
It depends if it's a psik ratio. If it's a davar shenu miskav, it's not a psik ratio. If it's not inevitable, you're not. If it doesn't always happen, then it's mutter.
Pretty sure it always happens.
Okay, so that's good. Yeah, Lippy.
I've never eaten. Where does derech achila
come into play? So, derech achila is not an automatic heter when it comes to all malachas.
Right.
Derech achila is something that we find by certain malachas that we're going to have to learn, but not necessarily that it applies to all malachas. I mean, derech achila is what these rishonim are saying over here, that when it's by the peh, those rishonim that are makel that think that you can suck it out even by the peh are obviously saying that's not derech schita, that's derech achila. But like the heterim that you have by other malachas like borer, that when it's derech malacha, you don't have that over here.
Why is that?
There were certain, I mean, we really have to analyze when derech achila plays a role, but the reason it applies by borer, as we're going to discuss in the future, is that borer, by definition, sorting, has to be a malacha, is only parallel to what they did in the Mishkan, if the Rishonim write, the Ramban writes, if it's like borer la'otzer, meaning you're doing it for the storehouses. By definition, anytime I'm doing it derech achila, it's missing its shame malacha. By the fact that you're doing it right before you eat, and as you're eating, or as you're setting up the meal, that's what we would say in yeshivas. It's felt in the malachas bayer. It's mechusser in the malachas bayer. It's not bayer la'oitzer. So bayer by derech achila is the inverse, is the opposite of what bayer la'oitzer is. Disha is disha. You know, you could be dash for whatever reason. I could be doing it because I need a glass of milk right now, so I squeeze an animal to get some milk, and that's not necessarily that it has to be a shame of bayer la'oitzer. You understand what I'm saying?
Is there a significant amount for disha for like grape?
So again, when it comes to amounts, the halacha is the following. If we would learn the halachas of Rosh, and we would go through all the sources, so we would see that the Rambam writes that the shear has to be a grower, it has to be a date, it has to be a significant amount. That's not practical, and it doesn't make a difference. I'll tell you why. Because the halacha is, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan and Maseches Yuma, that chatzi shear is also min haTorah. So even if you have a half of an amount, even if you have a minuscule amount, if you're mechavin to do that, the shear is not going to help you. You'll still violate an issur d'oraisa. Maybe you won't be chayv achatas. Maybe you won't be chayv skila for what you did because you didn't do the shear yet. But it's still going to be issur d'oraisa.
It was obviously happening accidentally, and you're, like nowadays, most people don't use the juices that are left in the bowl from the grapes.
It doesn't matter if it's inevitable that something will come out. It would still be issur. A woman is going to just nurse and just drop a drop of milk, it's still going to be a potential Isser D'oraisa even by a mashu. If you remember, one of the eitzas that the Rabbanim discussed to make the shaila about the kid nursing when he's past Pikuach Nefesh was the fact that it wasn't going to be a shear, so it wouldn't be as severe like a Chiyuv Chatas because it wasn't the shear of a grogress. Yeah.
Okay, so wouldn't you say it's easier to just never serve all of the grapes? And like, shouldn't it just be more, what's it called?
They could eat olives and grapes. You just can't squeeze them.
Like, I literally just learned this halacha today, and I'm sure there's millions of religious Jews who don't know this halacha.
Okay, this is not that's not our issue.
But I'm saying,
right there. Yeah.
This is more of a unique case, but it's totally practical and real. When I eat grapes, sometimes I'll chew on the grape and then get all the stuff, but keep the skin. So I like just chewing on the skin, but all of it's.
You
in my
just
mouth.
Get weirder and weirder.
No, it's like a good, like nice. Little,
well, again, what's that?
So, like you're chewing on, like so all the grape content. I really swallowed.
Okay. It's all in your mouth, though.
Yeah.
As long as, that's what I said. As long as everything is in your mouth, it doesn't. It's not even anymore the machlekes of b'moitzitz b'peh. This is a machlekes rishonim. But once it's all in your mouth and it's covered, and Mickey's going to start chewing with his mouth closed, then it, then it's all good. Yeah, Akiva.
For a, grape, for a big grape with seeds, if you do like what Mickey does because you want to get the seeds out, is it still this? Is it still this malacha or the malacha of separating?
No, seeds. Taking out seeds is going to be the malacha of bayir. We're going to discuss.
But me biting it in and out before I'm taking out the seeds is the malacha. Is this malacha?
No, it's not. It's not. It's extracting. It's not.
Yeah, but I'm not. No, because when I'm biting it in half, it's not all in my mouth.
Doesn't matter. You're not squeezing out the juices. You're not extracting the juices. Yeah.
You said when a woman, when she breastfeeds, she could put like into the toilet or bottle.
I suggested l'chachila that she should put soap in the bottle.
Because there's no use for it, right?
Right.
So the same thing with the grape. When you bite into it and it's just spritzing everywhere, there's no use for that.
Ah.
Sorry, was that a question? It's just going to waste. It's not like you're...
So if you remember from last year, Schita Le'ibud was, according to some Rishonim, still a Malacha D'Rabbanan. You're right. There are some Rishonim that held that as long as it's Le'ibud, it's not the Shem Schita anymore, and that's why it would be Mutter. But there are some Rishonim that learned, if you look back in your notes, that learned that no, of course Schita Le'ibud is still Aser. It might only be Aser D'Rabbanan because it's a Malacha Shem Tzich L'Gufa, because I'm not using it, but b'makom tsar of the woman, we're allowing an issur d'rabbanan. That wouldn't help in this situation. Meaning it would still be usur because of, but that's an excellent question. Meaning you're suggesting, according to the Ramban and the Ran, that holds schita le'ibud is by definition not schita, so then even by grapes, as long as it's coming out, it would be something that's mutter. So I think, you have to know, right, you have to know, even if according to the Ran, the Ramban and the Ran, if they extended it to all different cases. Rabbi Sai, that's for Schita Le'ibud. But Rabbi Sai, there's one other discussion that the Gemara discusses. What about non-natural juices? What about non-natural juices? What does that mean, non-natural juices? The Gemara, oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Ben. I forgot to get to lemon. I'm not going to get to non-natural juices. When it comes to lemons, Rabbi Sai, so what would I, how would I classify lemons? Lemons is shar pears, okay? But Ben suggested that lemons you don't really use for juice. You don't drink lemon juice. What Ben suggested, I was very impressed because that was something that the Beis Yosef said about people in Mitzrayim, that they used to extract lemons on Shabbos. And the Beis Yosef suggests that the reason why they used to extract lemons on Shabbos is because one of the suggestions of the Beis Yosef is, why was the practice of Mitzrayim that Schitas Limunim, which is in Shulchan Aruch, is Mutter? So the reason is because of what Ben said. People don't drink lemon juice straight up. But there are two opinions in the Beis Yosef why he defended the practice of Mitzrayim for being Seichet Limunaish, which is lemons. One is because what? People don't drink it, like Ben said. And the second is that what? It goes directly into something else and it never stays on its own as limonaish. So the poskim say, bizman hazeh, that's going to be a problem because we're not sure which tam and which reason of the Beis Yosef is practical because we do have containers of just lemon juice. It's in your fridge. So that is something that's collected. It might not be, you might be a meshugana if you want to drink that normally. So the tam of the Beis Yosef, the first tam of the Beis Yosef would still apply. But because there's a second tam of the Beis Yosef, that's why la halacha, when it comes to lemon juice, it is back to be a problem, la halacha, to squeeze a lemon. However, what would be an etza where are you allowed to squeeze a lemon? On top of the food would be something that's mutter because it's sharp hairs and it's going mashka bala ochel is ka ochel dam. So here is a major machloikis between the Chazan Ish and the Mishnah Brura about lemon in the tea. To put lemon directly in the tea, Rabbi Isai...
A lemon or lemon juice?
Oh, so to put lemon in the tea where you're not squeezing it, that would be something that's okay because it's not collecting, it's going directly into the tea. But, and it's not mashkin shizavo. However, it's not nikar, it's bottle in the tea. However...
Like an actual like, piece of lemon?
Yeah, like to let it sit. Like the Diet Coke thing, right. However, Rabbi Yisai, to squeeze the lemon in the tea, would that be okay? Would that be mashka bala ochel ko ochel dami? No, it's usur, right? Because it's not ochel, it's mashka bala mashka. That's something that's usur. You can't squeeze lemon into a lemon. So here's the shaila. Can I put lemon into the sugar? Why wouldn't I be able to put lemon into the sugar? Mishnah Berurah says, of course you could put lemon into the sugar. It's up to Mishnah Berurah. Why the Chazon Ish disagree with the Mishnah Berurah? Chazon Ish says, because that sugar is going directly where? It's clear. Everyone knows the sugar is not, you're not eating the sugar. The sugar is going and dissolving directly into the tea. So why isn't that considered mashka bala mashka? That's not mashka bala oichel. And the Mishnah Berurah suggested, no. As long as at the time of mashka bala oichel, it's going into a kaira of food. It's going into something which collecting into food. That's something that has the heter of the Gemara of mashka bala oichel kochel dami. So machlekes lalocha. Machlekes the Shabur and the Chazadish. Different places can say different things based on these two shatam. I think it's very easy to be machmir, so I would be machmir for it. But, yeah.
The lemon juice in the fridge
to put, you're not doing schita, you're not doing soichad on it, so that, yeah, it's fine.
That's cold going
at the hot. Cold going at the hot. That's what we learned last year. You're in a klishlishi, in a klishe, you know, in your mashke, so klisheni is even mutter. If you look at the notes from last year, the olim can help you and tell you when a mashke is going to be a problem for situations of bishel. But you need, number one, Yad Soledes. Number two, you have to be a Kli Rishon. Number three, a lot of things. He wants to say, since it's Shar Mashkim, so even a Klisheni is a problem, so you would need a Klishlishi, because the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch Harav have a Machlokes, whether or not outside of water, Shar Mashkim, is there Bishon or Klisheni. So we tend to be Machmir, so therefore you would need a Klishlishi. There are many different scenarios that it could be totally mutter for you to put it in, or maybe the tea is not so hot, so there's no bishul in the first place, so it's not going to be usher. It is a good point if it's going to be cold and it's going into something you add to lettuce and it's in a kli rishon or a kli sheni, so that would be something to stay away from.
You never squeeze the lemon in and then drop it in.
Chalila, yeah.
I would squeeze lemon on the sugar. What does that mean?
What
does that mean? Squeezing.
Instead of squeezing the lemon directly into the tea, which would be absolutely usur, so the Mr. Brewer suggested if you put it onto a spoon of tea, a spoon of sugar, so then that would be considered mashkel balochol, and the Chazon Ish said, no, since that sugar is going directly into the tea, that's going to be a problem. Stand up. Yeah.
So they both,
stand up,
Anton. They both say it's definitely usur to squeeze it into tea itself.
Yeah, for sure. Everyone says that. Yeah. Rabbi Yisai? So we'll do Kvashim and Shlokas next time, Rabosai. We have to get other issues that come up with Schita. I told you, Schita is a huge malacha, but this is extremely, extremely practical about knowing that Schita's pairs. Rabosai, primarily, everything I said is not only Nogea for Shabbos, but is also, oh, Shalom Aleichem, good morning. Primarily for what?
Not only Nogea for Shabbos, but Nogea for Yom. Schita is a malacha that's still going to be usur for Yavim. How do we know this, Rabosai? Who learned the Maseches Beitza?
What?
Beitza Daf Gimel. Why does the Gemara suggest? The Gemara suggests on the top of Daf Gimel Med Aleph. Why is a Beitza Shemel to be Yontav
usur? Because it's also
part of Mashkin Shazavu. Frek the Rishonim, Mashkin Shazavu. It's all on that fish. See from here, the Rishonim say that Mashkin, that Schita is not one of that theorem under the malacha of Olam Hashem.